mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, we're taking the show on the road, on location at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue for our annual Stuff the Bus School Supplies Drive, thanks to the Family Resource Center, here to help students and parents navigate the back-to-school transition and manage all that comes with it. Students and families aren't the only ones preparing for back to school either. Teachers and staff at the Findlay City Schools starting to get busy gearing up as well. And it takes an entire village to pull this off. Once the bus is stuffed, that's when Christian Clearinghouse gets to work. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, July 24th, 2026. I know. It seems really early to be talking about back to school already, right? I mean, you know, my goodness. It's only July, for crying out loud. But back to school shopping is here, and the sales tax holiday is coming. You know, we're collecting the school supplies for families in need, and for the rest of us who will be buying our school supplies, the sales tax holiday, of course, Ohio, one of many states that have sales tax holidays in the weeks leading up to back to school. Florida actually is up first. Their sales tax holiday kicks off this week and runs for an entire month until August 20th, I think the date is. Ohio's sales tax holiday this year will be held from August 7th through the 9th. So it's back to just 3 days. You'll remember that Ohio extended and expanded its tax-free period for the past couple of years. It was 10 days long in 2024 and a full 2 weeks last year. And that was because a bill that took effect in 2023, a bill that was passed in 2023, not only increased the price cap, but also allowed the state to lengthen the tax-free period so long as there was sufficient revenue in the expanded sales tax holiday fund. But this is where it gets kind of complicated. Back in December, lawmakers approved HB 186, which authorizes a tax credit for property owners in certain school districts. Maybe you heard about this. And that bill, one of the provisions in that bill that kind of went unnoticed by a lot of folks and we're just now learning about, provision in that bill requires a portion of the expanded sales tax holiday fund to be transferred to a new school revenue temporary offset fund, make up for the loss of revenue from that tax credit to the schools. It also prohibits any potential expanded sales tax holiday from occurring this year and delays the certification of expanded sales tax holiday fund revenue for the purposes of scheduling an expanded sales tax holiday in 2027. So, long and short of it is, which would you rather have? Because there's not enough money for both, and clearly property tax relief was deemed by the legislature to be the higher priority. So, in the end, sales tax holiday in Ohio is back to just 3 days. It is coming up that first weekend in August, the 7th through the 9th. So, you can circle that on your calendar. I thought that was kind of interesting. I did not know that was coming. I was expecting a extended sales tax holiday as well, and then learned that it was only a three-day thing. Did some digging, and that's when we found out about the change in that. Kind of interesting. Individual retailers also running back-to-school deals, perfect to pair with those tax-free days. Target has a deal going on right now, I guess. It's not, doesn't do us a whole lot of good here in town yet, but next year will. Next back-to-school will be good for us here. And I'm looking across Tiffin Avenue here. As Target is starting to take shape, but Target is offering backpacks for as low as $5 and lunch bags starting at $3. Meanwhile, Walmart announced last week that they are lowering the cost of some of their back-to-school items to 2019 prices. For example, a box of 24 crayons priced as low as 50 cents. Let's see here. Old Navy running discounts up to 50% on children's clothes and school uniforms for those schools that require uniforms. Deals are going to be harder to come by on technology, however. And again, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news because of an increase in and demand for memory chips and data storage for these AI data centers all across the country. That has driven up the cost of computers as well as other tech. But some retailers are trying. Best Buy is currently selling an HP Omnibook laptop for $649 instead of its previous price of $1,199. So that's a pretty good discount. And Apple also offering students the newest MacBook Neo at a $100 discount. You get that student discount with proof of school enrollment for $599. The regular retail is $699 on that. So there are some deals to be had even on tech, but that's going to be a little harder to find. Long and short of that story is if you find a good deal on a computer or a tech item that your kids need, grab it before it's gone, because chances are good it's not going to get any better. But watch for those back-to-school sales. Going to be starting it now, and especially as we come up on that sales tax holiday in August. But in the meantime, we are collecting school supplies here at our Stuff the Bus campaign. Here's one other thing you want to do, since we're on the topic of back-to-school. Get your kids vaccinated. U.S. measles cases hitting the highest number recorded in more than three decades. According to Johns Hopkins University's measles tracker, there have been 2,295 recorded measles cases this year. 2,295, and that is now just a hair more than last year. We've surpassed last year's total, and we're only halfway through this year, and we've already surpassed last year's total of 2,289. It marks the highest number of measles infections that this country has seen since 1990. Now, bear in mind, in 1990, there were nearly 28,000 cases, and we're nowhere near that number. But remember, the U.S. officially eliminated, quote-unquote, eliminated measles in 2000. But recent measles transmission is bringing the nation's eradication status into question now. So get your kids vaccinated. You don't want to be dealing with that. So it's such a simple thing to be able to avoid. And a couple of other items here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Since we are at McDonald's, I happened to catch this. It caught my eye. The Ohio Restaurant and Hospitality Alliance is taking a look at the impact that GLP-1 medications are having on the dining industry. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, more people are on these GLP-1s, losing all kinds of weight. How does that affect dining out? A study from the Ohio Restaurant and Hospitality Alliance finds that nearly half of individuals who are on those GLP-1s, Ozempic and Wegovy and all of that, nearly half do not order alcohol, desserts, or sugary drinks when they are dining out, and two-thirds of them report spending less at restaurants when they do go out. Now, the study did find that most GLP-1 users still enjoy going out more for the social aspect than the food itself. So despite changes when it comes to ordering, at least they are not foregoing restaurants entirely. So that's, I'm sure, good news for the Ohio Restaurant and Hospitality Alliance. But I just thought it caught my eye because I would not have thought about, you know, the impact of these uber popular weight loss drugs on the restaurant industry. But I guess that's why the association exists, the alliance exists. And by the way, speaking of restaurants, and I know we're at McDonald's today, but I have to mention this because it has been so much in the news. Taco Bell is offering a new deal to lure back customers who have been scared away because of the chain's link to the cyclosporiasis outbreak. Lettuce-free Enchiritos for a buck. That's right, just a dollar. On their lettuce free for a buck. On their social media accounts, Taco Bell says the deal is for those who have been riding with us just to show how much we appreciate you. Because, according to the report, foot traffic to U.S. locations, Taco Bell reported to be down nearly 19% since the intestinal illness was linked to lettuce from that Taco Bell supplier. That's a big hit. 19% in just the past month because of that. So they're trying to lure customers back. Interesting. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started. Yes, that's right. We are stuffing the bus this morning. And we encourage you to come on by. We're at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue and make a donation of school supplies to help kids in need and families with their back-to-school budget. It can be pretty overwhelming for a lot of families these days. And if you don't want to or can't make a donation of school supplies, maybe you don't have to have time to go out and get school supplies to donate, you can make a monetary donation as well. Come on by and drop some cash or a check in the bucket here, and we'll take that and use that to fill any gaps from the school supplies that are donated, get them to kids in need. And that really is a whole amazing other part of this whole program, is what happens once the bus is stuffed. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Our show here at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue is thanks to the folks at the Family Resource Center. And did you know that the FRC is in the schools to connect students with the emotional and psychological resources that they need? Since we're in the back-to-school mode this morning, we are speaking with Adrian Greco. He is the school navigator for the Family Resource Center. First of all, Adrian, thanks very much for dropping by early in the morning. And what is it that a school navigator does? Talk a little bit about your job with the Family Resource Center.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me. But really, a big part of my job is connecting families with those community resources. First, you know, I got to get to know the families. I got to know the struggle, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. and then really tailoring certain resources for their unique situation.
Yeah.
And then a big part is that follow-up piece. It's easy to connect people, but, you know, a little harder part is being able to find that perfect resource for them. So continuing to follow up, making sure that, you know, their counselor is working out for them. And if not, finding a different counselor or, you know, a different organization for their counseling.
Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, FRC is actually in the schools. You actually?
Yeah. So I am dedicated to all of Findlay City schools. I do a half day in every single school.
Hmm.
We also have our prevention educators in the schools, and they work directly with the students, families, and community partners to promote healthy choices, strengthening social emotional skills, and prevent risky behaviors. And through collaboration with Findlay City Schools, and they're also in our county schools as well, they provide that education and support that help young students help build resilience, make positive decisions, and, you know, ultimately be successful in school and in life.
I think that's so important because, I mean, it's like any resource. If you can get it into the schools where the kids are, as opposed to asking, especially kids, but kids and families to seek out those resources.
Yeah,
it's that whole idea of meeting people where they are.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's not easy asking for help or, you know, admitting that you need help.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what a big thing our prevention educators do is they try and prevent kids from needing help.
Yeah.
Really trying to teach them those skills early on.
Mm-hmm. When we say early on, how early are we talking about?
We're in preschools.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And we were just talking yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the program, the, you know, mental health crisis among youth. It's gotten an awful lot of attention. And we were talking about in the context of, obviously, the internet, social media, all of these things get a lot of the blame. And to a certain extent, that's deserved. But at the same time, we don't want to scapegoat just one cause. There are any number of things that kids are dealing with, some of which kids have dealt with for generations. Others are new, but we are now starting to recognize the importance of getting kids this kind of help.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we're in preschools, and it's obviously a little more simplistic, more
sure.
of you know, recognizing your emotions and learning how to deal with them, and then the older you get, the more
kind of the Mr. Rogers stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
the Mr. Rogers kind of stuff at that level. But I guess it makes sense. Because, again, if you can start that young and instill that kind of mindset, it can benefit moving forward. I would imagine. Yep. The other thing is, as you were mentioning, it's hard to ask for help. But if you can introduce yourselves at those young ages,
yep.
make yourself a little less scary,
yeah.
Make it a little less scary to ask for help if you need it, mm-hmm. is that part of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to have it's easier to connect with someone when you know them, when you mm-hmm. see them in your school. So it's really important that we're showing our faces and we're in the schools, working
yeah.
in the schools. And then, you know, on top of that, for students that do need help, we do have our school-based counseling services. So mm-hmm. we have some of our counselors going into the schools.
Yeah.
So they're only able to do a certain amount in the schools, but their clients can absolutely continue that counseling outside of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned, getting those resources, some of the other things that you were doing in the school. I know you've got some other notes here of, of other resources and other services that you provide in the schools. I didn't mean to go off on this tangent here.
Oh, no, you're good. yeah, so like I said, we have the school-based counseling, and then we also have care coordination in the school. And care coordinators really help navigate the local health system, assisting with treatment goals, medication monitoring, and then similarly to what I do, connecting to resources for medical, dental, transportation, and nutritional needs.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, a lot of what I do focuses on mental health, but what goes along with it is transportation, medical, food. If you're not getting those basic needs, then,
yeah.
you know.
It's all pieces of the same puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the other part of all of this, and one of the reasons why I think it's so important and so good that you are in the schools with these resources, meeting these kids directly where they are, because whether we like to think about this or not, sometimes the problem, the crisis, the issue is the home, is mm-hmm. the family, or the lack thereof, or the dysfunction thereof. So to expect the family to seek out help is a pretty big ask when the families are kind of the root of the problem. And it's hard to say that, but that's a reality, I would
yeah.
imagine.
And you know, obviously we still need parental consent to do,
right.
you know, for our services and everything. But you're right. Sometimes the problem is in the family. So being able to be in the school is huge. You know,
because otherwise, how would you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, not all the county schools are very big, but, you know, Finley's, it's a pretty big school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kids, and it's a big ask to ask one or two guidance counselors to, you know, be in charge of all these kids and help all these kids.
Yeah.
We're, you know, everybody's only human, so
right.
everybody needs
yeah.
some help. And, you know, we're honored and blessed to be able to be into the schools and help these kids. And like you said, meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Again, Adrian Greco is the school navigator for the Family Resource Center locally, making our show possible here on location at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue as part of our Stuff the Bus back to school supplies drive. And Adrian, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
You know, the FRC team is always ready with their mobile response stabilization services as well to support kids and families in crisis, both in and out of the classroom. Katie Rinker is with us now. She is the crisis supervisor at Family Resource Center. And we were just talking a little bit with Adrian about the services that are available to kids in the classroom. This goes far beyond the walls of the school, right?
Correct. Yeah.
yeah. So talk a little bit about what mobile response stabilization services are for those who are not familiar.
So mobile response and stabilization services are a service that we offer in to anyone in Hancock County. So it doesn't have to be Findlay City Schools. And
sure.
There's kind of two parts to mobile response stabilization services, also known as MRSS. So if I say MRSS, that's what I mean. There's the mobile response part where if an individual or a family is in crisis, we can come to them typically within 60 minutes to de-escalate the crisis situation, provide just, you know, one-on-one counseling, do safety planning, help get them connect to higher level of care if they need it.
Things that people need in the moment.
In the moment, yep. And then the second component is the stabilization services. So for up to 42 days, our team can meet with the families and just work through what was going on in that situation or what's going on bigger picture and kind of help the family learn coping or learn healthier communication skills.
That's not to say that, and I mean, in some cases, I'm sure that that's all the time you need to kind of square people away who, you know, may be in a crisis situation in the moment. But that's not to say that that's all that someone may need. Then I would imagine referrals go to
longer
term.
Yep, absolutely.
Help.
So part of our role in those 42 days is to get them connected to the care that they would need, whatever that looks like for them.
Yeah. Kind of interesting because we mentioned that this is both in the classroom in the context of schools, since that's what we're talking about today, both in and out of school. Again, meeting people where they are, wherever they may be in crisis, because it could literally happen anywhere.
That's correct. Yeah. We like I said, we can go anywhere in Hancock County. So if you're in a park, we'll go to the park. If you're at McDonald's, we'll go to McDonald's.
So you kind of, I guess people could think about it as sort of like the mental health equivalent of paramedics.
Correct. Yeah. Unfortunately, we just can't get there quite as fast as paramedics often, and we don't have the systems. But yeah, actually, that's absolutely
Do you
it is.
Work closely with like police, fire, EMS, that kind of thing? I mean,
yeah, so part of our role is to eliminate the burden, kind of what take our lane from them, because that's not what they went
they're
to.
Not, but, they're professionals.
But in the same token, absolutely, when we need to loop that in or they call us to say, hey, can
well,
you guys
what
step
I was,
in
Yeah,
here?
That's what
yeah,
I was asking.
Absolutely.
I mean, because I guess my other question in this is these are great services, but kind of like we were talking about with the services that are in the school, how would people know to contact you, or how do you make that initial contact? Because people won't always pick up the phone and call you necessarily when they are in crisis directly.
So, yes. And
I mean, sometimes I'm sure they do.
Sometimes that is. One of the ways that they can get a hold of us is to call 988. And through that service, they know to link them to us. But also, like, the police and schools and those types of services will just call us directly and say, hey, can you come out to whatever wherever we're at?
Yeah. And again, as you mentioned, this is not limited strictly to schools or school-age children. That's the context that we're talking about this morning. But you help individuals, you know, in all stages, individual families, you know, all of that.
Yeah. So MRSS is just for individuals who are under the age of 21.
Okay.
But we also have adult mobile crisis. So we cover every age group from zero to end of life.
Okay. Really fascinating stuff. I'm kind of curious, and I hesitate to ask this because I don't want to put you on the spot with like a number. So if you don't know one, but how frequently is this? How frequently do you mobilize in this? I mean, I'm trying to give people a kind of a some context as to how necessary these services are.
So for all age groups, in the last couple months, we averaged about 50 responses.
Wow.
That doesn't include any of the stabilization cases or the re-responses that we had for people that are already in stabilization.
Yeah. So this is actually quite a bigger need than maybe what people may realize.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you know, maybe once or twice a week, but it's a lot more than
like
that.
Once or twice a day.
I mean,
yeah.
Do the math. I mean, 50 in a couple of months. Yeah. That's quite frequently that you're called out for these. But at the end of the day, obviously, if this was not available, these outcomes would be very different for these individuals in crisis.
Often, yeah. The parents don't have the resources or, like, law enforcement, or the burden on the hospital would be even greater.
Yeah, because you wonder, if not for this, what would be the alternative? And thank goodness we don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
Really fascinating stuff. Katie Rinker, again, is FRC Crisis Supervisor, talking about their mobile response stabilization services. Good to know that this is out there. Again, because like we were talking about earlier and we mentioned it yesterday, we know all about the mental health crisis among youth today. So it's good to know that these resources are available. If folks are interested in learning more or have questions about these services, that's all on your website, right?
It's all on the website, yep.
Okay. Katie, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, as we stuff the bus with school supplies for kids and families who are now starting to think back to school or will be thinking about back to school very soon, kids and parents aren't the only ones who are preparing. Teachers and staff at the Findlay City Schools starting to get busy gearing up as well. Jackie Nelson is the Director of Elementary Education for the Findlay City Schools, and we are now less than a month away, actually, right?
Less than a month away.
I cannot believe that we are. I mean, I'm still coming to grips with the fact that it's late July and we're talking about back to school, collecting all of these supplies, and I'm thinking, well, we got to do this early because we got to do all of this stuff, and, you know, to get it organized and distributed and all of that, and this takes time. Well, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time. I mean, it's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
Literally, right around the corner. Here's the thing. Do teachers get as excited for back to school as the kids do?
Oh, my goodness. So I have been out and about this week, traveling, looking at all the buildings, and they are almost school ready. These classrooms are gorgeous. They are so excited. These teachers have been in and creating beautiful spaces.
You never lose that feeling, right?
No, I mean, office supplies, teachers, like, that's like,
well, yeah,
it's the joy of their life, right?
You know, that's the other thing. We talk about stuff the bus, and, you know, it's always so cool when the kids get that. I remember when kids were younger, and obviously they're older now and kids of their own, that they're sending back to school. But I remember shopping with the kids, and they were so excited about getting all of the new crayons and pencils
and the erasers, the pointed crayons.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And the erasers that hadn't erased anything yet, so they were perfect.
Right.
And I still get that when I'm going out to buy the school supplies that I'm going to donate, and I don't even know what kids are going to end up with them. It's exciting.
Yes, it's that joy of childhood flooding back.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And the teachers have that too. But obviously there's a serious side. The teachers preparing for, you know, all of the classrooms, their lessons plans, their, curriculum for the year and all of that. It's really interesting the way each teacher kind of approaches that differently.
Yeah. Yes. So we have been really focusing on exciting curriculum, and they're having a great time planning that. And then you can definitely tell the span. They really are thinking about their little guys versus their big fifth graders. I was in a building yesterday that was a 3-5 building, and they are painting this beautiful mural. And in the mural, they are using like text bubbles, right? Because that's that age that third through fifth grade are into text. And so they're really thinking about their students and what's going to get them excited about learning. Yeah.
Such creativity in the classroom to get the kids excited about learning. And, you know, in the context of the Stuff the Bus school supplies drive, how important is it to make sure that kids actually have all of those things that they need? I mean, again, we're talking about how exciting it is for the kids to get those fresh new crayons and the you know, the bottle of glue or the pencils that are, you know, haven't even been sharpened
exactly.
yet. This is exciting yes. stuff. But from a learning standpoint, from a classroom standpoint, that makes a big difference.
It does. And, you know, we talk in Findlay a lot about our opportunities for excellence and belonging and really creating that equity. So when we're thinking about students that all have what they need, right, mm-hmm. they're starting right on an equal playing field with everybody. Everyone feels confident and comfortable that they have what they need and they're ready to focus on learning instead of that that fear of, oh, no, I don't have what I need or I'm not. You know, maybe we're not comparing, right? Oh, they have nice crayons and I don't,
kids
or I
kids.
Wasn't able to contribute,
yeah.
right?
Kids
and,
are kids.
And so we're taking that fear away and we're getting them ready to start excited about what they do need to focus
and,
on.
Yeah, right. And if they don't have the supplies they need to complete the assignments, I mean, that's like starting into the academic
yes.
year with one hand tied
yes,
behind your back.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the other thing that often happens, we know this happens, is that if the kids can't provide it themselves or if events like this can't provide it, then who does provide it?
It's the teachers.
It is
the teachers. And looking at classrooms, you can see how much they are investing in their rooms mm-hmm. to make sure that students have what they need. There are a lot of things that they are doing that are sensory supports, right? And so they're investing in making sure that their classrooms look great and that students have outlets to decompress and things like that. And so then if they don't have those things, then teachers are absolutely providing it.
I mean, God bless the teachers, but right. that often means dipping into their own pocket in order to
it
do
really
that.
Does.
So an event like this is a benefit not just for students and families, but really for teachers as well, because then they don't have to incur the expense.
And it's so meaningful oh. for teachers to know that their community...
We're outside.
Yeah.
You can tell.
He's excited about back to school
That's
as
right.
well. That's right.
That's right.
But then these teachers know that their community is behind them, right? Mm-hmm. That the work they do is valuable and meaningful and that they're working for a community that's supporting them and appreciating them. And the feeling that that gives a teacher is just incredible.
Yeah.
Teachers and students to know that their community believes in them and the work they're doing.
So first day of school is
August 13th
for
That's
the
right.
Findlay City
That's
Schools.
That's right. Yes, lucky
now,
13th.
Here is the, what about the other dates? I mean, are there like open houses,
there
meet
are.
The teacher nights?
There are.
When do the kids find out what who their teacher will be? Because I know especially in elementary
yes,
school,
that's a yes,
big deal.
That's a big
who's,
deal.
Who's in my class? What teacher
deal.
Do I have?
That's right.
Is all of that stuff out now?
Yeah.
Or?
So we are putting our incredible director of communications, Kelly Cheney, is putting all of this information together so it's easily accessible for parents to find in one location.
Mm-hmm.
We do want to make sure parents are filling out their forms and their final forms are all complete with accurate email addresses and phone numbers because that's how we'll make sure that that communication gets to them.
Okay.
So the sooner they complete that, the better they're going to get communicated to. So all of that's going to be coming out soon in a very easy to read package. So we will flood with communication.
Okay, and that will be coming soon.
Yes,
because again, we're less
soon.
Than a month
That's
away.
Right. That's right.
If parents are not signed up for that, or they, I mean,
they're
how
gonna
do
miss
they,
out
yeah,
on the
how
information.
How do they make sure that they are?
They want to make sure that their final forms are complete. And if for Findlay City Schools, if they're enrolled in school,
okay.
then they've had a final forms. So they just need to go on there. And our system is so user friendly that their other things are gonna repopulate. They just need to double check their information, sign it, and then they're good to go, and then they're going to get everything they need. So it's really, really important that families do that every
okay.
single year.
And real quickly, we're talking about back to school, and the teachers have been in.
Yes.
How soon do the teachers actually start? I mean,
well, teachers are working away
yeah.
all summer long.
I
like,
mean,
they
we talk about
stop.
First day of school,
they
but it starts
stop.
Way below before
and
that
it,
because they're
yes,
preparing their classrooms
yes.
and all
and
of that.
Actually, I had the benefit. I met with a teacher yesterday at lunch, and she was telling me all about this amazing learning she's been doing, studying, reading books, listening to podcasts. Like, they're just so excited.
Yeah.
They never stop.
But let's also mention that you know, this goes through throughout the year. I mean, we talk about meeting the teachers and, you know, and all of that. But obviously, and again, we're talking with Stuff the Bus and knowing that the community supports the teachers. When the community has a question, or when, you know, you have a question with your teacher, your student's teacher, or what have you, always want to reach out. You know, teachers are open to having that dialogue. That's the way. That's the way education works best.
It is. Yeah. Yes, that open dialogue with your teachers, and we have. We actually are going to have an even more improved communication system in Parent Square. That's coming. You're going to get that information.
Okay.
And really, yes, we are, the more we can work in tandem together, principals, teachers, really supporting each other.
Don't be a stranger.
We love our families. We love our families.
Findlay City Schools Director of Elementary Education, Jackie Nelson, with us.
Actually, Wilson
morning.
Was my maiden name, so not too far off.
I kind of channeled that. Jackie, thanks very much for dropping
by.
Best of luck. Here's to a great school year.
Thank you.
Well, you know, as we talk about back to school time with our Stuff the Bus campaign, and hear an awful lot of families saying, I don't know if I'm ready for this. So want to take some time this morning to talk about how students and parents can better manage that back to school transition, because this is a transition. I mean, it's been several weeks now of the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, and now we're getting back into the more structured time of the year and all of the responsibilities that come with back to school. Laura Brees is with us. She is a prevention supervisor for the Family Resource Center, making our broadcast possible for the Stuff the Bus campaign, and they're bringing her in right now in the ambulance. No, I'm just kidding. Laura's already here. That's not her that you hear in the background. Laura, thanks for being with us once again. As always, we appreciate it. Talk a little bit about your role as prevention supervisor and what prevention education means.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So yes, I oversee our prevention educators. We've got educators in all of the Hancock County schools, all the Findlay City schools, and prevention education is about giving kids those tools that they need to make those safe, healthy choices and trying to be on the onset and ahead of those problems that might arise.
Yeah, getting ahead of the game.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it's really important, you know, teaching those kids those life skills, you know, how to handle peer pressure. A big thing is managing those emotions, you know, how can they communicate clearly, solve problems, and just really build those strong relationships. So we also, you know, in addition to managing emotions, focus on preventing those issues like substance use, bullying, just really all those risky behaviors by helping those young people build that confidence. And we really want to help them make those good decision making.
Because all
habits.
Of that is intertwined.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you know, not being able to manage the emotions can lead to bullying, and then that can lead to substance abuse and, you know, self-harm, and, you know, all of these things are tied in together.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So as we are talking about this back to school time, it is a transition. What are some of the challenges that that can bring for students and for families? And then how do we deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is definitely an exciting time of year for kiddos. And the return to school, though, can be very stressful. Some students, it's their first day of kindergarten. Some, they're transitioning into middle school, high school. Even if students are returning to a familiar building, there can still be, you know, that anxiety about meeting new teachers.
New teacher, new class. I mean, it's not just when you make that transition to a new building or, you know, go to kindergarten for the first time. Every year there is something new. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So it's really important that we focus on that mental health side of things and recognizing how that can significantly impact how a child can learn and how they can develop. So there's definitely a real connection between mental health and a child's academic success. So if a child's feeling overwhelmed or they're anxious or they're feeling disconnected, struggling emotionally, it's going to make it harder for them to focus and participate and be successful.
How do we recognize if that's happening? You know, how do we know that it's more than just the jitters?
So we really want to focus on, you know, is it something that's happening? Is it kind of a long term? Is it ongoing?
Okay.
You know, are we seeing that withdrawal, or are we seeing that even it's acting out? So really recognizing that behavior is a form of communication, and we need to recognize that as parents, caregivers, teachers, and helping kids navigate through that.
Okay. So let's say that our kids are struggling with this. How then do we navigate that, or what can we do? I mean, so often, I can remember when we were young, mom and dad would say, don't worry about it, everything will be fine. Okay, that worked for me. It's not going to work for every kid.
Nope, exactly. So communication is one big factor. So encouraging a child to talk about it, you know, letting them feel that they, it's okay to be nervous. It's okay, you know, some kids have, they're excited for school. Some are nervous, and recognizing those emotions and validating that for the child is definitely very important. And just remembering, as I said, you know, that behavior is a form of communication. So sometimes, you know, we might see a child's, you know, they're tearful, they're crying, they're irritable, they're acting out. And they don't have that communication skill to say, I'm feeling nervous, or, you know, I'm scared. So really letting them, you know, having that, building those communication skills, not jumping to frustration or discipline when a student's acting out, child's acting out, but, you know, asking them, you know, what feels hard about this? You know, what can I do to help you feel ready? Can really help take down that barrier and help build those communication and that struggle for kiddos.
Yeah. What about for the parents? Because we talk about this as, in the context of the kids being nervous for back to school. Certainly understandable, because they're the ones who are kind of quote unquote on the front lines. It's their, you know, their education and is, you know, I mean, happening to them. But for parents, this can be kind of a nerve wracking time as well in many cases.
Yep, so. Absolutely. So to kind of help take down some of those barriers for families, I really encourage them to start routines early. When we can start routines early, it's going to give that sense of security for the kiddo. They're going to know what to expect. Things are going to be predictable. So it might be starting that, easing back into those sleep habits. We know that kids, you know, they're staying up a little later during the summer.
Right.
So ease back into that, you know, start that meal planning. So we're ready to pack lunches or whatever that is, that looks like in your household, you know, setting aside time for homework.
I'm just thinking maybe you can start, making the types of meals that they would have at school.
There you go.
Have like the peas and carrots some
night. There you
night
go. Get all those.
Dinner.
Yep. Make sure you have all those food groups for
ease
sure.
Ease them in back into that.
So that healthy eating. Yeah, healthy eating is important.
If you can make the square pizzas, that would
there
be,
you go.
You know,
yep.
That would be perfect.
To fit in the little part of the tray.
Exactly. And if you have the trays, so much the better.
So, yeah, absolutely.
No, but people get the idea.
That's, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So just kind of moving, you know, moving that bedtime a little bit earlier in small steps, you know, limit that screen time before bed, you know, create a calm evening routine. And if we can do that, it's going to make that those mornings feel less rushed, not for only the child, but also for the parents as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, all of this in the context of preparing for back to school. But all of these things can come up at various points during the school year as well.
Yep, absolutely.
So if we recognize, first of all, we have to be cognizant of that. And then what do we do if our kids suddenly have an issue that maybe they haven't had before?
Yeah, so definitely reaching out. So connecting with, you know, we have Family Resource Center. We've got care coordinators. We've got clinicians in addition to our prevention educators in the school. So reaching out to that school counselor, and they can help get us connected and help provide those services right in the school. But beforehand, I really encourage, you know, schools are ramping up for open houses and orientation. So if you're able, I really encourage families to get to the school during those open houses. Let kiddos meet their teacher. Maybe walk the hallway, find their locker. If it's a child that walks to school, you know, walk that routine with them. And I think if we can be on the forefront of some of those things, mm-hmm. it's definitely also going to help help mitigate some of those challenges to start with.
And probably will mitigate some of the apprehension or the nervousness for the parents as well.
Yes.
You can get in there and you can see the kids' classroom and their teacher, and there is a bit of reassurance, especially if it's the first time. We go back to first-time kindergartners. That can be tough on parents. That can be really tough on parents. So, you know, having that bit of reassurance is very valuable.
Yes, absolutely. Just and definitely a comfort in knowing, you know, who is your child going to be with every day.
Right.
Now, you know, they're suddenly not going to be spending a lot more time at school than they are with you and in your care. So that's definitely
speaking
important.
Of which, speak really quickly. You know, we talk about helping parents manage this transition and helping kids manage it. Boy, that first time for kindergartners especially, or is there something over and beyond everything else that we've just mentioned that applies specifically to those first time going to school families?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a routine. Getting a routine for a child, helping them, you know, have those coping skills, those coping strategies to manage and deal in those stressful times, mm-hmm. and helping them connect with those, you know, they're going to view their teachers as trusted adults. Yeah. So really helping them recognize the importance and that connection that they have with those teachers and the school staff.
Good stuff. Laura Brees, again, is Prevention Supervisor at the Family Resource Center. For anyone who wants more information, how do they get more details, or they have more questions? If we've raised more questions than answers for someone, how do they reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. They can call Family Resource Center at 419-425-5050, or they can visit our website at frcohio.org.
Very good. Laura, thanks very much for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups: breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
What do you get when you win a World Cup for Spain? Spanish midfielders Gavi and Fabian Ruiz were recently awarded with their weight in tomatoes. That's what they got for their World Cup win, thanks to their shared hometown, which is a tomato-producing municipality in the province of Seville in Spain. So they got their weight in tomatoes, 187 pounds for Ruiz and 151 pounds for Gavi. Oh, they will also get some local soccer fields named after them. The ceremony followed a national parade that was held on Monday in Madrid. Get your weight in tomatoes. Now we know why they were so excited when they won. Also from the international file, this is the broken news this morning. It is an international day. A Michelin-starred chef working in Seoul, South Korea, is facing jail time over a dessert garnish. Prosecutors have asked a court to sentence Australian chef Joseph Lingerwood to 1 year in jail and fine the restaurant the equivalent of $13,500 for using dried ants in violation of South Korea's Food Sanitation Act. Dried ants as a dessert garnish. Ants, you see, are not among the 10 insect species that are permitted for human consumption in that country. That's rather disturbing, isn't it? Authorities discovered the practice through photos that diners posted in their online reviews. Officials estimate approximately 49,000 dried ants imported from both the U.S. and Thailand were used over the course of 4 years. The chef did admit to serving the ants on some desserts in his 15-course menu, but in his defense, he says diners were told of the garnish in advance and could have chosen alternatives if they had opted to. Did they know that? I can't believe that people would willingly eat dried ants as a dessert garnish. What kind of dessert are we talking about here? I mean, I don't know. And moving on, finally in the broken news, New York-based Italian sculptor Sergio Fornare spent $100,000 of his own money building a life-size statue of Charlie Kirk, and now he can't sell it. Mr. Fornare, who admitted he wasn't a fan of Charlie Kirk necessarily, said he built the sculpture to honor free speech. And he compared his work to Michelangelo and Da Vinci. He expected that wealthy donors would line up to reimburse his construction and labor costs, and he hoped to raise millions for himself as well. Instead, his online fundraiser has collected about $1,400. Oh, and he also broke his foot tripping over the thing in his studio while he was building it. So he's got medical bills besides the $100,000 of his own money that he's got tied up in this thing. He says he plans to display the statue in Times Square in hopes of generating some interest, but all he could say at this point is that, quote, people are cheap, man, unquote. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You're invited to the Night Jazz Concert to benefit Flag City Honor Flight, Sunday, August 2nd, from 4:30 till 7:30 at 50 North, located at 339 East Melrose in Findlay. The concert is free, but donations will be accepted. Come out for food, raffles, music, and fun Sunday, August 2nd, from 4:30 to 7:30 at 50 North, as Night Jazz performs to benefit Flag City Honor Flight. Doors open at 3:30. This message provided by WFIN.
And now, your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. This, of course, is a midterm election year, and it could be a big one. They usually are. So since we are talking about back to school today, and with many people believing that schools really should be a place a renewed emphasis on civics education, I thought this would be something interesting to talk about. New research from the Civics Center, which is an organization that encourages youth participation in the political process, they find that nationally, under 30% of 18-year-olds are registered to vote. Less than 30% of 18-year-olds are registered. Compare that to 75% of voters age 45-plus. Oregon actually leads all states, with 86% of 18-year-olds registered in the Beaver State. Michigan actually comes in second at 78% of 18-year-olds registered to vote. Ohio, we have a ways to go. We rank 29th overall in youth voter registration. 29th. Statewide, just 23% of 18-year-olds are registered to vote in Ohio, just 23% compared to 77% of those age 45 plus. So fewer than one in four 18-year-olds are actually registered. And then it's interesting because in this report, you can dig down actually to the county by county data, and 22% of Hancock County's 18-year-olds are registered. So just a hair under the statewide average. 22% of 18-year-olds registered to vote in Hancock County, while 80% of those age 45-plus are. The numbers are worse in Wood County, where it's only 15% of young people are registered to vote. Seneca County at 17%, and Hardin County is just 11%. This is like 1 in 10 18-year-olds who could be voting actually are registered, 11%. Wyandotte County is doing a little bit better at 34%, but the best of our neighboring counties, Putnam County at 55% and Henry County at 51%. And by the way, when you zoom out a little bit more into Northwest Ohio, Van Wert County is the best in our region and actually the best in the state. 63% of 18-year-olds are registered to vote in Van Wert County. And by the way, in the entire state of Ohio, about 150,000 young people turn 18 every year. So is that enough to turn an election? Probably not. But if they don't get registered at 18, there is a much greater chance that they will not ever register to vote and will never participate in the process. So about 150,000 young people turn 18 every year. An estimated 115,000 more 18-year-olds right now could be voting in this election than are currently registered. So just some numbers to chew on there with respect to young people and civic engagement. Data from the Civics Center. So again, we are going to be here stuffing the bus until 7 o'clock this evening today at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue. So you can come out and stuff the bus. If you cannot make it out, you can still participate. And Tammy Stahl is with us from Christian Clearinghouse. And As we were talking, folks remember, I guess, a few days ago, as we were leading up to this and previewing the Stuff the Bus event, it really does take a village to pull this off. I mean,
absolutely. This community is great. The bus is filling up, but there are a lot of children in need. Last year, we served about 1,300 local children, and we expect the numbers to be about the same this year. So if you can't get out here today, we do have our PayPal account at cchsupport.org. We're on Venmo, so you can make a donation. We will purchase items. Everything goes right to the kiddos. And we also even have an Amazon wish list out there on our Facebook page, so you can order any single way that you want to order or drop supplies off at our office. We're going to be packing up backpacks next week, so we'll still take supplies in the office if you can't make it out today. If you really want to do that shopping, just drop it off next week at our office, and we will make sure that the kids get what they need.
Yeah, so it doesn't end at 7 o'clock, but once this bus is stuffed, 7 o'clock this evening, that's when you really get to work. And talk about taking a village. The volunteers who have been out here for the past couple of days helping us stuff the bus, obviously. The volunteers who help you organize everything and get the backpack stuffed. And then the distribution. I mean, that's a village in and of itself.
Absolutely. And we are, again, so thankful for the people that come out to support this. And it's a great way of giving back. It's a great way for your children to see other children's needs and to know that they can help and that all kids don't go to school with the same opportunity. We want to make sure that the kids have the tools they need to start the school year off appropriately and to have them be successful.
That is such a good point as well, because this can be sort of a lesson in empathy for our kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So after, you know, we talk about the collection, and again, if you can't make it out today, you can still make a donation next week. The distribution then, let's talk a little bit about that, because you can still register your kids if you need some help in sending the kids back to school, or you know someone who needs a little bit of help with respect to this. You are the folks that we are doing this for. So there is a process to get all of that assistance. Take us through that real quick.
Yeah, so if you have a need, just visit our website at cchsupport.org. You will need your social number and your children's social, and you'll put that into our spreadsheet or our online application, and we will get you registered. Pickup is going to be on August 1 at the Family Center. We have moved that back to the Family Center this year, so you'll just come out and you'll pick up your items that date. And if you can't pre-register, we'll still have items in our office afterwards. But it's really important to pre-register, because your child will receive not only school supplies and backpacks, they will receive a voucher to be able to go out and get a new pair of school shoes. So if you pre-register, you're going to get the Project Happy Feet voucher. So again, get online, don't wait, make sure, spread the news. We were almost filled up on that pre-registration.
I was going to say, because, you know, obviously, I would imagine that with the pre-registration, you take as many as you anticipate you can fill based on what we've done in the past, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because obviously you don't want to pre-register someone and then have to go back later and say, I'm sorry, we can't. So you want to be a little conservative on that estimate. But then that leaves you with the possibility of stuff left over. So what happens to the stuff that's left over?
We contact the schools to see if the art teacher or the, you know, a different classroom needs some of those supplies. And we get things out. So we start fresh every single year with having to collect. And we make sure that if there's a need throughout the school year, you know, somebody just moving in or a backpack breaks or whatever, that the schools have those resources.
So the bottom line is every single pencil, every single box of crayons, every single glue stick, every single pair of scissors that gets donated will end up in the hands of a student in Hancock County.
Absolutely. Everything stays local.
Yeah. It is a tremendous effort, and again, can't say enough about all the work that Christian Clearinghouse does and that you coordinate in terms of making this happen. We've got the easy part. We come out here and we talk about, you know, come out, make your donations, stuff the bus. We walk up and down the aisles of the bus and we think, oh, this is great how much we've collected, but then you actually do the nitty-gritty work of organizing it, collecting or organizing it, packing it up, making sure that it gets into the hands of people that need it. So we can't say enough good things about our partnership with Christian Clearinghouse for this Stuff the Bus campaign. And again, if folks want more information, we've got it linked up at our webpage. You can also go to the CCH website, right?
CCHsupport.org.
All right, very good. Again, Tammy Stahl with us from Christian Clearinghouse. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
And in closing, as we finish up our program here on location at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue for our Stuff the Bus Community School Supplies Drive, we definitely want to thank the folks at Family Resource Center for making the show on location possible. And if you have been hearing us talk all morning long about back to school and think, boy, isn't that rushing it? Aren't we jumping the gun a little bit on this? You're going to love what we're going to talk about here real quickly before we finish up. Dave Crosser from the Family Resource Center with us, and you are already planning for the second Twinkle Nights.
Yeah, buddy, it's time to jingle the bells. Yeah, man. It's beautiful.
Well, talking about back to school, and it's less than a month away. We know that the holiday season is going to be right around the corner.
As soon as the back-to-school stuff is out of the stores, the Christmas lights are going in the stores, so we might as well talk about it now. November 27th. Mark your calendar. That's our opening date
November
this year.
November the
27th. Yes, sir.
And it's really kind of, as we mentioned, this is the second year for this. Last year, obviously, it was successful. Otherwise, Chris, you wouldn't be back for a second year.
Chris, I learned a lot last year. it was a good year for year one, but we're back in bigger.
I remember you telling me when the Twinkle Lights launched last year, I wish I'd have thought about this back in February instead of thinking up the idea in August.
Yeah.
So you actually do now have the whole year to prepare for this.
Last year we had 9 weeks. This year we had 52, so that's nice. That's nice to get a little
actually,
bit
Actually, that's even more impressive. I mean, if folks were there last year, and I know folks really enjoyed it last year, and to know that that came together in just like 9 weeks. I mean, it takes my wife 9 weeks to decorate our house, much less the entire park.
Yeah, it was a big thing. I'm glad I'm not doing it that way again. The route this year is doubled. Last year, we were just about a half a mile. This year, we're over a mile.
Because you have more time.
Oh, yeah. Double the time. Double the route. Hundreds more displays. Lots of cool new animations and stuff that we're going to be doing with it. The tunnel is 100 feet long this year. We're really excited about it. And I have learned so much about LED lighting that it's unfathomable to me.
And electricity. And extension cords.
And 110 can do some stuff. TwinkleNightsFinley.com. If you hit the website, you can find out some more information. Tickets are on sale right now. You can grab your family pass for the year. Unlimited are available. And we're super excited about it, man.
Okay. And what do you use? Obviously, it's a big fundraiser for FRC, right?
Oh, yes.
What do you use that for?
Every carload that goes through is helping to support the mental health and addiction prevention, treatment, and recovery services that we provide to kids and families here locally.
Which is kind of the tie-in to what we've been talking about all morning long. We talk about the resources that are available for kids and families in the classroom and outside the classroom that can support their education experience and just their well-being. This is what helps make all of that possible.
Yeah, you get to enjoy a festive night with the lights at the fairgrounds and know you're supporting a great local nonprofit in the process. It's a win-win.
Okay, so the date is
November 27th. We open Friday and Saturday and Sunday nights through January, I think, 3rd.
Okay, and folks can actually get tickets now.
You can buy tickets
now. If you are so inclined.
We're selling tickets now. We didn't even have the idea yet last year at this time, and this year we're already selling tickets.
What's the website?
TwinkleNightsFinley.com.
All right. Dave, thanks very much.
Thank you, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on our special Stuff the Bus edition this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Also, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, as always, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two whenever you get a chance, leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well, and we thank you very much for that. Coming up Monday on the program, a Good Mornings exclusive, our conversation with Republican gubernatorial nominee Vivek Ramaswamy. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.